Lord, this morning as I bring the season finale to the folks, I pray it be impactful like it's supposed to be. It won't just be the end of a story that we're aware of. It be the beginning of a story in our life. It be the beginning of something we build in our friendship with you, as nothing becomes more important than you. We take that relationship out into the world, Lord, and let it change the world in Jesus' name. Amen. I got to give big props to Abraham. I've been stuck on him for a while. This season finale is why. This guy, to me, my personal opinion, I'm going to put a disclaimer out there. The things when I say it's my personal opinion, it's my personal opinion, not teaching doctrinally. It's my personal opinion, all right? He's vital to me. Abe's vital to me because God had a guy he could trust. When I saw that, when I read it, I said, man, this dude trusted God. And God called him his friend. And he showed me what was possible for someone who would give God everything. And only Abraham, I saw this point, ever did it. And maybe, in my opinion, ever did it other than Jesus. He falls short, right? All fall short. All of sin, right? Say sin. Yeah, get it out. You know, we don't like the words. Get it out. But God's friend, say, be that guy. So before we go too deep in this mid-cap level recap, you know, because Daddy and Reggie weren't here, so I'll try and hit some points for them. Only, you know, it's just, you guys remember everything, I'm sure, but they got caught up to speed, you know. The Bible, especially the Old Testament, is mature content. Say mature. Mature. Say it's okay, because I'm mature. Look at your neighbor, say it's okay. I'm mature. I can handle mature content. Yeah, new season and series one of Deep Roots. We learned, well, I hope we learned lots of stuff. There are lots of things that God taught that people catch me on Sunday morning after the message, go, man, God's been dealing with me about this. I'm like, wow, that's awesome, because I wasn't preaching about that. Yeah. Ever have him do that to you? Like, expect, man, do I throw myself on the bus this early? And here we go, I told you I will. So this morning, I'm getting ready. I'm praying for this because this is such an important message. I feel the weight of this message, and it's going to be so good. And I'm going to take a little bit of time with it because anything that, you know, good soup, you got to cook it overnight. Spaghetti sauce takes 2 days, people. 2 days. You could do it quick, and it's good. And I love pan spaghetti, but if you're going to do it. Anyways, I'm going to take some time. But I was this morning getting ready, and I was asking the Lord to check my heart. I said, hey, if there's something in the way this morning, me and you, doing everything I need to do and be for you this morning, and I had my worship time, and I said, I need you to point it out this morning. I don't want it there. And I was being sincere, and I'm brushing my teeth, and this is how it felt to me. This is my relationship. I'm not asking, this is not doctor. This is me and Jesus talking in my bathroom about 9:07 this morning. And he started to say something nice to me. And I interrupted him. I said, yeah, but I'm asking you what one of my problems is. He goes, that's one of your problems. You interrupt me when I'm speaking. And then he said, you don't receive, you're so bound up on criticism. That's all you hear. I said, Lord, that's feel like all I hear. He goes, yeah, that's pretty much all you do here. I said, but when I speak to you, I don't speak to you that way. I love you and I correct you. And so you got to hear that too. So stop interrupting me and receive love. Okay, the church is over. I guess I'll just tell everybody that and we'll go home. You know, but I'm going to highlight some stuff from Deep Roots that you may have picked up along the way. I picked that up this morning. Number one was whatever God says is sin, is sin. And if he says it's good, then something's good. If he says this thingy is forever and that thingy is not, guess who's in charge of that? God. Yeah, it's his. Yeah. So please always remember everything is God's prerogative. It's not our prerogative. It's not your prerogative. It's not MC Hammer's prerogative. Is that who did that, Jen? Bobby Brown. See, I knew they'd be these two right there. They don't, come on, old school rap. I don't know. It's just not your prerogative is what I know. It's God's prerogative. It's not Bobby's. I hope you learn that. That's key. Because God's going to, sometimes he does correct us. And what are we going to do with that? Yeah. Some people hear compliments. Tell me. Oh, compliments embarrass me. Anybody else? I'm working on it, but it does. But sometimes people are so want so much compliments from God, they don't hear what he's been trying to correct them in. Yeah. So that's hopefully one thing we learned. Second thing we may have learned, Donnie, Reggie, I don't know, that Jesus is the fulfillment of deep root promises, right? Jesus is the fulfillment of deep root promises. The third thing we learned, maybe, God has guys and gals, right? God has guys and gals. He speaks to individuals. Say, be that gal. Yeah, be that guy. Yeah. And then we learn, number four, God puts up with a lot. Man, a lot. Yeah, God puts up with a lot. Let's not take the log out of Brother Lot's eye for a second. It'd be easy to do, right? How about we just pretend you're in the mirror, and I want you to see in that mirror the history of your life and the things he's put up with. Say, God puts up with a lot. Woo! I ain't even on my notes yet, Pastor Justin. This is recapping, Reg. This is recapping, you know? It's like capping, but doing it again, you know? And also, recall the church. Who's the church? Mm-hmm. Recall that you have your own reading to do in this series. Oh, no. I say this so when you get from Genesis chapter 1 to chapter 20 in your reading, don't skip it. Don't skip it. Like, I'm going to skip it today, but you don't skip it. It's my prerogative. I'm trying to get someplace that God's going, but I don't want you to skip his word. Like many other chapters, there are sins that Abe makes too. And you're going to see blessings upon Sarah for the decision she makes. And there's some good wing meat there, you know? Eat the chicken, spit out the bones, and eat some. See, be God's guy. Be God's gal. So the mature content that's coming in the world of the Old Testament we're about to enter into. They offered human sacrifice to appease their gods. Right? Whoa. But especially often sacrificed children. Most precious commodity in the earth, right? And the sick thing about it is all sorts of gods required their pound of flesh. Well, say at least that's back then, right? Well, at least that's back then. I won't give you a news flash. I'm about to go, well, let's twist it and look at it differently. A little bit for a second. The horrors of child and human trafficking and abuse are still prevalent in our society today. How about this? And that's an obvious way, right? You see, well, that's child sacrifice. Okay. What about our society constantly helping us sacrifice our kids to their moral opinions? How about sacrificing our children to the world's destructive programming? How about sacrificing to their political powers and agendas? I'll tell you this, they make it difficult not to sacrifice your family's deep-rooted values. They make it difficult. Sacrificing kids on their altars on the acceptable social media platforms. My rant's over, but it's not just they that are sacrificing their kids. We got to look around. Look at our culture. Right? Kids, Whitney, you said it wrong. Kids are our future, but don't let them lead the way. Why? Because if you let my granddaughter, she's amazing. She's probably like 35 in a four-year-old body. But if you give her choices to lead the way, we're going to end up with a lot of candy, a lot of cotton candy, and most of us wouldn't survive the diet she puts us on. A lot of troll movies. You'd be done. Children lead the way. What? You got to train a child in the way they should go. So what's our father do? Train a child the way they should go. But we sacrifice children all the time to other people's training. Anyways, I see some correlation. This is my opinions. We haven't got to the word yet. I'm just giving some of my opinions. Yeah. Here's a few more points in the season finale. So deep roots. These are going to be quick ones. Don't worry, Reg. Here's the quick point. You ready? Do you keep God first? Do you completely trust God? No, no, no. Completely trust God. Even when you, here's the hard part. It's hard for me to trust God even when he's got a great track record. Does God done anything in your life ever? More than two things that you go, man, God just did something crazy for me. He blessed me at some point in time. I was sick. It was whatever it is. Anybody ever have more than two things God do for you? Please raise your hand just a second. More than two things. There's a handful of things. So that's the kind of stuff you should put on Facebook during Christmas time more than pictures of your gingerbread latte. Oh, your dog looks cute in those Christmas boots. But you know what? Your testimony might help other people's lives. Put the boots and the cutes, but, you know, I'm just saying. But I think about it all the time. God's got a great track record. He's got a God track record. He comes through every time. And every time I get to a gap that seems impossible, do I trust him when he says it? Or do I make him prove it again? Prove one more time. Keep proving it. Proof, 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 proof. And how much proof do you need? But God puts up with a lot, doesn't he? Yeah. Three, God expects repentance from Old Testament sin and New Testament sin, right? Right? Here's some examples of sin. I know we all love that. You ready? Because you guys forgot sin exists. The world tries to teach us that it does, right? So here's some sins of sexuality that he disapproves of. Sin. Sins of hate. Sin. Sins of lying. Sin. Sins of sacrificing a generation of children. Sins of sacrificing of people in general. But if you pay attention to the children part, it's going to get you because he has a special section in his word for people that harm children. It says better that a millstone be hung around your neck and you dropped into the water. So God's serious about kids. We should get some more serious about kids because we're the church. That's all I'm saying. Say deep roots. I'm the church. All right. Season one finale. The test begins for Abe. Deep root love. He's going to be tested. It's going to be tested, Cody. Love's going to be tested right here. God asks for the greatest value Abe had, the promised son. Never done that before. And honestly, if you think about it, he asked for the promised son, and Abraham never really dared dream to ask him for the promise. And now you gave me this crazy promise, and you're taking it back? We had a word when I was a kid for that. And you could bust your lip open. You're giving me something and taking it back, I'll crack you. Right? God asked Abram to return the gift and give it back, the very gift that he gave him. The most valuable thing in his life. You ever been asked for the most valuable thing in your life? He checks those things to see what is really God in our lives. He does. Society is still sacrificing their kids, and they want ours. I pray as a church we get courageous. We find out what our deep root promises are from Jesus. Genesis 21, 1 through 8. The Lord graciously remembered and visited Sarah, and he said, the Lord did for her as he promised. Say, God's gal. He made her a promise, and he followed through with that promise. We all had a bunch of hands up. We all had promises. You know, God followed through with that promise. So Sarah conceived, right? She's an older gal. Older gal gave, and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. At the appointed time, say the appointed time. I'm going to pause there a second. God alone controls the appointed time. Anybody else trying to move the hands of time for God? Yeah, you should see me pushing for the mission trip all through COVID. I'm like, come on, God! What's wrong with these people? Wake them up. Got to go, right? We're going. You're in charge. How about now? Let me see. Now. God. Right. But he has an appointed time. Because why? He's the appointer. He's the appointer of time, you know. At the appointed time of which God had spoken to him, Abraham named his son Isaac, laughter. The son to whom Sarah gave birth. If we could touch the heat down just a smidgen, that would be fantastic. If not, then we're just going to sweat it out with the oldie. This will be okay. At the appointed time which God had spoken to him, Abraham named his son Isaac laughter, the son to whom Sarah gave birth. He had a nephew-type son who was Lot. I don't know about in your culture of your life, but how many people that you have in your life that aren't blood relatives, but they're family? And in some cultures, if you're your nephew, it depends who you are, you're their son, right? Polynesian world, I'm here with Apostle John, John Nasilangi, my friend, who is about 10 years older than me. And we're walking in Samoa, and, hey, this is Pastor Sean, this is so-and-so. And he's introduced me. And then one time he introduced me, and this is my son. What? Your son? I'm not your son. He said, yes, you're my son. Well, in the faith, I was his son. And that's how and the people that I was introduced to, he wanted them to know me as his son. Like, this is my family. He's not just Pastor Sean. I'm introducing you to family. And family want to know who I was, what's my place in this family. He's my son. Okay. All right. Lot. And also, he had a son of his own plans, Abraham. Remember? He hooked up his own thing. I'm going to make my plans happen. And he got another son. And then he had a son of promise. So Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, just as God had commanded him. Why did he do it? Because God commanded him, right? The key to being that guy that God can use and trust is obedience quickly. Quick obedience is real important in a lot of things. We talked about a second from being in traffic and a road mash and not being in traffic. It's a second. Quick obedience. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. So, forgive me. I'm going to go back to the scriptures here in a second. But in a second, I have a picture because McKeesey and Pastor Justin, I had a conversation. Okay? It went like this. 100 years old? And then McKeesey goes, well, he probably ate good. And they walked everywhere and climbed everywhere and sheep everywhere. And the air was pure. And I said, Abraham might look more like that. I'm 100, but I'm good. You know, I don't know. I don't know. But I do know 100's up there. You know, I'm just above half that. I'm like, oh my goodness, right? Whew. So we'll jump back to the scripture. Just ripped Abraham in your brain forever. Sarah said, God has made me laugh. All who hear about God's good news, all who hear about our good news of a promised son will laugh with me. At least they'll be stoked and giddy. I got my promise. Man, that's great. I can't believe God came through for you. Ever get that tears of joy? Like you were praying for faith, but when it happened, you start crying with them and it wasn't even your thing? Yeah, if you don't, you should find people that you care enough to pray with like that. I'm telling you. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have given birth to a son by him in his old age. She keeps pointing out his old age. You notice that? Maybe he wasn't so ripped. I don't know. And the child Isaac grew and was weaned, and Abraham held a great feast on that day. God delivered again on a promise. A huge, crazy, miraculous promise. And Abe's son Ishmael, remember that one? What we're skipping a little bit is this. Ishmael appears a little mean and jealous about it. The oldest son. Goes back to the garden in this one. This is a sin that's Old Testament, New Testament. Ready? Jealousy is an epic sin in both Old and New Testament. Jealousy. 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 I'm not talking like, that's my girl, don't eyeball her. No. If you eyeball Caitlin long enough, he'll put one right in your eye. And I'm like, okay, he eyeballed me? Yeah, get it. I'm talking about, I want that. I wish that was mine. I deserve that because I'm the oldest. That's culture. Culture says I get all the stuff. I'm always passed over. That's my right. I'm American. American. It's my right. Maybe it's just Ishmael, never us, though. Maybe he just feels like he paid his dues. You know, he's the older brother. He deserves some respect. And society at that time would agree with him. Society agrees with his jealousy. Well, it must be true. It must be how we would live our lives then. We must give in to jealousy. right? God says no, and he alone decides and appoints, right? But either way, there's a mean older brother and stuff was going down. And I know, Ninos and Ninos, you're going to have to read it for yourself. But thank God, even though Abraham made a plan, right? Ever make a plan and it was a disaster? Ever make a plan and not consult God? Because it seems so obvious. I want to do this. It's available and it seems good to me and those with me. Let's do this. Yeah, and then all of a sudden it's a wreck. He made a plan without consulting God. He did. Obviously he made a mess. But you know what's super cool? God still took care of Hagar. He still took care of Ishmael. And he promised them some stuff. He works all things together for good who love and serve him. You just got to get that back in order, right? Say deep roots. The finale. Genesis 21, 1 through 2. Now, after these things, the blessings, the promises, the land, the cattle, the community, a miracle child, the money, the esteem, the power, the promises. After these things, say those things. Don't be the guy that forgets those things. We often forget what God did in the past because we want what we want so much in the now. Right? Don't be that guy. Say, don't be that guy. After these things, God tested the faith and commitment of Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham. And Abraham, instantly, when God calls his name, you'll notice every time, he answered him, here I am. Man, if we can get that down. We can get that down. When God says, hey, we go, here I am. Right. God said, take now your son. I want to sing the song, Phil. Your one and only son. Dress him up, boy, man, you send him to school, right? Oh, what a lonely boy. There he goes, a song. You know, I hear that when I go, take my son, my precious only son. What are you talking about? I can't even hear you, Lord. I got lyrics in my head. You didn't just say that. I totally missed you there, God. You did not say that. You know, what? I was like brushing my teeth, and I just like, what did you say? God said, take now your son, your only son, and so you're not confused, your only son of promise whom you love. I do love him. He's my promise, right? Ever love something that he gave you? And you're supposed to love what he gives you. And I'm supposed to be in love with this promise. And I do love it now. And you promised it to me. And I've been showing it off all over Facebook. Love it. Love it. Yeah, the car's dead. Someone bought me a brand new Escalade. Love it. Love it. Equinox, go away. Rise up. Put that on Facebook. You want it back, huh? I just put on Facebook that it was mine. No, you want it back? And that's a thing. Imagine one of the greatest loves in your life. Your promise, whom you love, Isaac. He's being real clear right now. That one. That guy. He says, and go to the region of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering. Come on. Are you kidding me? That's the pagan. That's, you would never, what are you talking about? A burnt, not just like burning to death, alive offering. God, what are you saying to me? Offer him a burnt offering on the mountains of which I'll tell you. Like, just go, I'll show you. Just get on with it. Huh? Go and offer him as a burnt offering on the mountains. Which I'd still be like reprocessing. You know, I'd be like, Lord, can you say that again in like Spanish? And then, yeah, can we get the original Greek and Hebrew? It's an unquenching and overwhelming thought that we can't stay on very long if you're a parent. It'll wreck you. It'll wreck you. Which makes me love Abraham because of his courage. He sent the greatest promise of all. We'll get to that. It's just my opinion. We'll get there. So Abram, 22:3. So Abraham got up early in the morning. He got up early to get this. I'd be dawdling, Jody. Like, well, you know, when we get there, we get there. Hopefully he changes mind along the way. You know, ever have someone ask you to do something? Like, she'll just ask me not to do that if I go slow enough. You know? He saddled his donkeys and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he split the wood for the burnt offering. And then he got up and went to the place that God told him. So he'd be that guy. Yeah. One of 500 things that I love about Abraham. One reason he is so impressive to me is that I'm very grateful for these roots. Being mature because I might have failed. I don't know if you think you might have, but I might have failed. I definitely would have been real quick. I'm just throwing me out there. And I look at someone who gave God everything and he became a hero. I said, I get it. Okay. That's why you're his friend, because you trust him no matter what he said to you. And I trust him a lot, but not like you trust him. And I will be that guy. Do you want to be that guy? That God go, I trust you with anything. Being mature, I would have failed. But Abraham didn't. Say deep roots. How about let's switch it up. Say Abe is a baller. He's a baller, straight up baller. If you know what that word means, he's a boss. Right? He is. Genesis 22, 4 through 5. On the third day, very interesting. On the third day, Abraham looked up and he saw a place in the distance. Abram said to his servant, settle down and stay here with the donkeys. The young man and I will go over there and worship God. And check this out, though. And we will come back to you. Is that faith? Maybe. Maybe that is faith. I don't know. I'm not there with him. Maybe he's saying it so they don't freak out. Where are you going to worship? Like, you don't, where's the sacrifice? Where are you guys going? It's odd. I don't know. Genesis 22:6. Then Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering. He took the wood that was going to burn his son alive. And what did he do with it? He laid it on the shoulders of Isaac. Just like Jesus, the wood of the sacrifice is on his own back. I'm starting to see Jesus in this moment. I'm starting to see what God did for us in this moment because Abraham did this for us in this moment. So God took that moment and said, I'll do that for everybody now, Abraham. He put the wood on his own kid's back. God put the wood on his own kid's back. He took the fire in his own hands and the knife, and the two of them walked on together. Genesis 22, 7 through 8. This is going to be a tough one. Good thing Pastor Justin took a bathroom break. Because he gets wrecked with these things too. And Isaac said to him, my father. How about I translate it for you? Ready? My daddy. When Ellie wants to get our attention, she'll go, my papa. And instantly, I hear my papa. I could be like, my papa. Yes. But he says, my daddy, here am I, my son. Look, said Isaac, the fire in the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said this to his son, my son, God will provide for himself. He doesn't need your provision. God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering. He's going to provide the lamb to gather the people to himself real soon. God's going to provide the lamb that saves the whole world. God's going to provide the lamb soon. This is a prophetic statement. Abraham had no idea about the Messiah in this moment, but he was saying something. He said, God's going to provide for himself. He's going to fix all of this. He's going to send him. It says, so the two walked together. Abe trusted God. They walked together. Check this out. Abe trusted God, so Isaac did too. Abe trusted God, so Isaac trusted Abe. Shouldn't that be the relationships we have with our children? Can they trust what we say? Can they trust who we are? Can they trust? Can they trust? Can they trust? You want people to, our job is to take Jesus to the world, but if they can't trust Jesus in you, then they're not going to trust him. And not talking perfect, all of sin, falling short of the glory of God, we can shout sins out. You ready? You know, we can do it. But I'm talking about repenting from those sins, acting like the best love of Christ we can, and being that picture for the world, right? Walk together. Genesis 22, 9 through 12. When they came to a place of which God had told him, Abram built an altar there. Man, Abram honors God everywhere, doesn't he? He doesn't forget stuff. He builds altars in his life. He gets his calendar out and go, God did this, I don't want to forget it. You're not going to forget that. I'm putting it in the calendar because you know I might. Why? It's my altar. I was praying for this and praying for this and praying for this and praying for this, and then God did it. Boom, it's going on the altar. Right there, I'm building an altar. Thank you, God. Thank you. Abe does it all the time. I wonder, for whatever reason, if this is really hard on him. I got to put my kid on an altar that I build. And I make him carry the wood. Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac. I know, Jody. I know. And he bound Isaac, his son, and placed him on the altar on top of the wood. Okay. On top of the wood. Just like Jesus. Bound to the wood. Just like Jesus. Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. To kill his son. To kill his son. Abraham reached out with his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But check this out. Instant obedience pays off huge here, Jan. You ready? I love this. He took it out. He's like, there he is. The most important thing, the promise, the thing I love the most in the world, everything, here it is. God, you said, okay, let's get this over with, right? And the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He didn't go, let me just finish this first. Ever want to just finish something first when God calls you because you want to finish it? Or don't make that big a deal because God told me to start it. Yeah, but remember, it's his prerogative to go, hold up. But I can't leave stuff unfinished. Anybody? Anyone? Bueller? Anyone? Anyone? Yeah. And sometimes God says, hey. But you told me to. Yeah, I did, and I'm telling you right now to hold up. It was a good thing Abraham learned how to obey him quickly, because this could have ended terribly. He answered, here I am. And the Lord said, do not reach out your hand against the boy and do nothing to harm him. For now I know that you fear God with reverence and profound respect, since you have not withheld from me, since you have not withheld from me, your son, your only son. You should thank Abraham right here. What's about to be said, you should thank Abraham. What God's about to do, he said, because you haven't withheld your only son from me, Abraham. Now, the church isn't alive yet. It's me and this God being in this group of humans that have built their life around making me first. And he said, I'm going to bless you. You're going to be the father of a nation. You're going to be all these different things that God said. And then God tells him this fact. Because you have not held from me your son, I'm never going to fit to get that. I'm going to take care of you for the rest of your life. And anyone. And it's going to be with my son. Genesis 22, 13 through 14. Then Abraham looked up. You know, that's pretty cool because good things happen for Abe whenever he looks up first. I don't know about you. When I get, I know, Hallie, when stuff happens and I get discouraged, I don't always look up first. I look down or out, rarely inside. But how often in the midst of a moment do we look up? Man, look up first. Abraham's sending all sorts of messages to us, Sue. He's showing us how to grow our relationship with, if you want to be God's guy, he's showing us a pattern. Make God first. Listen instantly. When he says, do it, do it. When he says, up is up, you say, yes, sir, it's up. Looks down to me, but don't matter because it's not my prerogative. He says, he looked up and glanced around and behold, check this out. He looked around. Okay. Abraham, don't do it. Yeah, okay. And he looked up and behold. Behold. How interesting. Behind him, just behind him, was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. How convenient, God. Wow. You just, you know, just showed up so conveniently after I obeyed. You know how many testimonies I heard this week? Someone said to me, God told me to do this with my money, and I did that, and then God did this for me this week. I got two different people told me this week. I obeyed God with this thing. It's pretty hard to do, and I did it, and then God did this and this for me, you know? How convenient of God. You had no idea? He did. His provision was already available. He just wanted to know what you love first. And Abraham went down and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Abe didn't have to sacrifice his son, but God's going to finish that himself. So Abraham named that place, "The Lord will provide." Ever heard the old, any old school Pentecostals here that we grew up in church? There's a song, Jehovah Jireh. You know what that means? God will provide. That's what this means. That's where that word comes from. That word shows up in our language as a title and name for God from this moment. God will provide. Jehovah Jireh. And I bet Abraham, I'd be like flexing. He's ripped. I'd be flexing. Yeah, God. You know? Come on, Isaac, let's get shredded. You know? And Abraham named that place the Lord provide. And he said, to this day on the mountain of the Lord, it will be seen and provided. I bet that's true if you make sure you're on his mountain and not yours. I'll move on. I do know this, that wherever God is, what you need is there too. Wherever God is what you need. He's got what you need. God sees and God knows, right? And God supplies. So just get where he is and what you need is there. I had someone that asked for prayer this week, a good man of God. I love him. He's a thug for Jesus, and I love him with all my heart. And he needed a call this week because he's having to deal with a really hard situation. He got called into counsel. He feels a little above his skis. Ever called in by God for something like that? I'm not qualified. Call Dr. Heidi. Right? Get a hold of Ed. I don't know. Right? But this person's feeling a little over their skis, and I said this so confidently to him. I said, you plus God can do anything. You plus God can do anything. And you're going to start seeing that with God's guys and gals in this series. This is the finale. You're going to see a series of this as being true throughout time. And if you raise your hand before, you see it's true today. Yeah, some of the sins may be the same, but some of the promises are too. Some of the promises are too, right? I know this. Genesis 22, 15 through 18. How am I doing time? I'm doing spectacular. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, by myself, on the basis of who I am, by myself, God says, I have sworn an oath. Well, I swore an oath against my name. Why? Because there's no one more powerful than me. I'm promising myself this. I'm saying if I don't do this, I'm not God to me. I'm promising. Based on my name alone, God said. Okay. I have sworn an oath, declares the Lord, that since you have done this thing and have not withheld from me your son, your only son of promise, indeed I will greatly bless you and I will greatly multiply your seed. You know what, though? I go, yeah, I know. You said that a nation and great nations were going to come from me already, right? Like, what's the big up in that? You already promised that. Shh. Shh. Listen, it's about to take up another level. He says, I'll greatly multiply your seed like the stars of heaven now. It was going to be a couple nations, Jody. He said, but look up. And the sand of the seashore, your seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. He said, your foot people are going to conquer for all time. The people that love me are going to endure and going to last, and they're actually going to conquer into eternity. They will possess the gates of their enemy and they will not be overcome because we are the church. Say, I am the church and we will not be overcome. Right? This is a promise. We can say that because it's right here. Through your seed, yeah, all nations, many nations, some nations, all the nations of the earth. There's the up. Remember it was, I'm going to make a great nation of you. Then many nations are going to come from you. And he says, it's the stars of the heaven. He said, let me up this. Every nation that will ever exist will find some type of blessing found in you from this promise, from this day, and I'll send my son to the whole world so they can collect on it. All nations. Say, I'm the church, and I'm connected, and I'm connected to deep roots. We're connected to deep roots. Deep roots. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have heard. I took the time to listen when no one else would. I got a whole world of experts thinking they know how to solve the world's problems, but you listen to me. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have heard and, remember our part, and obeyed my voice. You have heard, and then you got about doing what you heard. Right? I wonder if Abraham, and this is the wonder, this is me, okay? This is my wonder. I wonder if Abraham, if he had not responded, what if he didn't? I wonder if God would feel obligated to sacrifice Jesus for us. He said, since you have not. There was a sense in there. I'm not saying it's doctrine. I'm just saying God put sense in there. Since you did this, I will. What if the sentence were reversed? Since you did not, I don't have to. Where would we be then? Where would we be then if someone didn't obey God? Where would we be then if we didn't have a guy? Where would our roots be tied to? No salvation for mankind. How terrible would that be? Abraham made a move. He said, you can have everything. He said, since I can have everything, listen to what I'm going to do. All the nations of the earth would be blessed by you, dude. All the nations of the earth. I don't know. But I do know this. God did sacrifice his only son. He didn't pull the knife. He left him on the wood. You say, well, he rose again. Yeah, but he actually died on his wooden altar. He actually died. And then to make sure that it's proven he was dead, they buried him for 3 days, right? Yeah, he rose, but he didn't rise for sins. He died for them. He rose to give us everlasting life. He died to remove sin. So if there's no sin in the world, why did Jesus die? Why did God have to sacrifice it? See, we as a church, we got to wake up to where we sacrifice our kids, where we sacrifice ourselves, where humankind is off. We got to say, if God says it's up, it's up. If it's down, it's down. If he says do this, do that. He says don't do this, don't do that. And if you do that, repent, because why? Jesus made a way for you to get cleaned up and get right back on track. He doesn't leave us there messed up. He never leaves us forsaken and messed up. That's why he rose. He came back to say, I'm going to come back for you. I died for you, but I'm always going to come back for you too. I'm not going to leave you there, right? Even in your own messes. It was for the sins of mankind. That's why I died, for all the sins. Can you think of a sin he didn't die for? No. All the sins. Right. So in this Deep Root series, I want us to see that God tied his church to the promises of redemption. And he started with Abraham, season one. Why we get to walk in the promises of God today as a New Testament church is because what God did with his guy and what his guy did for him. Maybe, I don't know, I don't, Pastor Jody's not around with a guitar. We'll just do this old school. It's okay. We don't, no, it's okay. If, because sometimes it takes courage. And I'm not putting anybody on the spot. I'm being real with you this morning. I'm off the stage. I remember being in church services where God was calling out to people. And I've seen them where, if you see from your eyes, and this is fine. Some of you all got saved this way, and you guys are a wonderful part of his creation. And I love you as our members of our church. But sometimes I see people, close your eyes, bow your head, raise your hand. And if you want to accept Jesus and have him forgive your sin, and you believe and trust in God, and they do it, and the song goes on, hand down. I see very few of those people stay in the commitment. Sometimes it takes more courage than that to be tough, to go, though no one goes with me, I will follow. And the people that get up and say, yeah, I'm screwed up, I need prayer, I've been in sin for this, and you don't got to confess it, but I need to talk to somebody, that's courage. Stand up and get prayer. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you're dying, If you got nothing to remove your sin, and you can't stand before God and know it's going to be okay. Not perfect. Really, if he leaves the sin list off, just based on that, we're all toast. But if we've walked through the sacrifice of Jesus, he said he's the same yesterday, today, forever. So he said, I promise you, if you receive Christ's sacrifice, you'll be forgiven for your sin. It's the same promise he makes about everything else. He doesn't lie. He's a promiser. And he always follows through. So sometimes it takes courage to go, I'm done with me. And I'm done living that way. And I'm done being that way. And I'm done being a weak, on the border Christian with my walk. I want to follow him with a passion. I want him to have everything again. Maybe he wants my car. Maybe he wants my kids. Maybe he wants my life. Maybe he wants something from me. But whatever you give up is nothing compared to what you gain. Nothing. Man, it's great to know if I get zapped right now based on Jesus, I'm in. And you don't even know the thug I was. But Jesus said, you're in. Why? Because you love me, and I was first, and you gave me your heart. And every time you sinned, you went to me and asked for forgiveness, and I was faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And if you don't have that in your life, how do you make it? How do you really make it? So if you have never accepted Jesus, and you know I need that, I want to tell you this. You're in a room of safe full of people. If you have accepted Jesus, raise your hand. Let's do it that way. I got my eyes closed. I ain't looking at nobody. You can put your hand up. So you, if you have never accepted Jesus and what he's done for you, you're in a room of a lot of people who understand that they needed him. So if you feel like you want to receive that, and you have feeling tugging on your heart, I'm just going to last a second. I'd love you to come up here front. That's what I did my first time. And I raised my hand quietly. I think you might have been there. She was just some 15-year-old kid. I did it on my knees once in front of Richard Roberts in Florence, but I lived like hell because no one gave me, I didn't know what to do with it. But when I found a church and they made another altar call, I went up front as quick as I possibly could. I said, I need him. I want to see disciples be like that again. So if you'll stand with me, and then if you'd like prayer for anything, but especially if you've never received Jesus, I'm up here this morning. This is our deep root promise. So Father, wherever you are in people's lives this morning, you walk right with them. Not in condemnation for things they've done in the past, Lord, but for freedom for what you got for them in the future. Lord, we're so thankful for the deep root promises of Abraham. You had a guy. You had a gal. Well, here we are, the bride of Christ, the church. We want to be your gal. We want to be your guy. Lord, empower your church to be something greater this year than they think they could do. Make them, Father, as individuals. Put them in places, Father, that they could be so successful for you, Lord God, that the kingdom of God would grow this year because someone's looking at their life. Someone's looking at Jasmine, and they just got to have the Jesus in her. Someone's looking at Miley, like, I just need to know, through this time, how did you make it? I'm looking at you, the church. I'm looking at your Facebook and saying, what do you say about me? Who am I to you? What have I done for you? God's looking for the church again to get connected to the deep roots and start moving and producing fruit again. Are you with me? So, Father, cause us to be rooted and fruited this season for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.